Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the nightly edition of the Terrible Podcast, special edition during training camp. Tonight, I have Jason Silbers. You can follow Jason on Twitter at Silber, S-I-L-B-E-R, underscore, bullet. So just like Silver Bullet, except you add the B in there instead of the V. Jason, appreciate you taking time out of your evening here, and thanks for joining us on a Terrible Podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dave.
Jason, you were at the practice yesterday meaning Tuesday, and you did, first of all, a great job on tweeting, sort of live tweeting the events there. That's people just do not realize how useful it is for those that are, bloggers like myself that are unable to make training camp and just fans in general, so kudos to you for that. Why don't we start by, give us an overview yesterday of practice and, what they got accomplished.
Sure. It was fun to be there again this year. I think the group seemed very loose and looked like everybody was having a good time. I assume it was a practice that was not very similar to what it would look like before a regular season game, knowing that this was the last practice before the Eagle game. But you got a good look at the offense in particular. And seeing the run throughs with the different quarterbacks rotating in and running down the field, it was some good action, particularly watching the quarterbacks trying to get the timing together with the wide receivers.
Now, did they mostly do the 7-on-7 work and special teams work? And I think I remember reading. Mostly, I guess, Byron Leftwich and Jared Johnson got the highest percentage of snaps.
That's right. The 7-on-7 drill is where you kind of get to see the most simulated game action, and that's right. I didn't see Charlie Batch at all. Ben was out there. He did throw some of the skeleton drills where it was kind of like inside the 20, like a red zone type drill. But Johnson and Leftwich were the ones leading the troops up and down the field, simulating game action.
Of the young wide receivers, not of course Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jericho, and all the ones we know that are going to make the roster. None of the young kids have really by all reports out there have really stuck their head above the crowd yet. I want to talk about what you observed of that group yesterday, as well as the young cornerbacks, specifically, of course, Cortez Allen, Curtis Brown, and even Terrence Frederick. Can you talk a little bit about both those two positions?
Sure. They definitely worked in, all the receivers. They all got extensive time. All the guys that are here, from Marquise Mays, Jimmy Young, Derek Williams, David Gilruth, Tyler Beiler, they all got a lot of action. Tony Clemens made the touchdown catch. As you know, that was a big highlight for the day. Got a big reaction from the crowd, and it was a really impressive catch, fourth down touchdown from Leftwich. Tyler Beiler, if I'm saying that right, he got behind the defense and caught a bomb from Johnson. So that was another electric highlight from the afternoon. I mean, they all seemed to do a decent job. I tweeted that Jimmy Young was struggling a little bit with drops. I mean, he looked good. He was getting open. He just couldn't hold on to the ball a few times. Derek Williams looked solid. I'm a little surprised that I haven't read anything with regards to his, legitimate chances to make the squad, because he's a little more accomplished and has some NFL time, and obviously had a good career at Penn State. you would think they could find at least one guy out of that group if we assume that Mike Wallace gets back, you know, with the three guys you mentioned, and one guy out of that group. I think they would end up with a, you know, another very, very strong wide receiving core. And then on the defensive backs, I mean, it didn't seem like they were doing a great job because the receivers were, in general, getting separation, you know, despite some drop passes. There wasn't a lot of contested balls in the 7-on-7 drill. Obviously, Keenan Lewis was lined up as the starter. Cortez Allen and Terrence Frederick both got in there. You know, there were times where they made some plays, but like I said, the coverage wasn't anything to get excited about. I think on the one touchdown that Tony Clemens caught on fourth down, Terrence Frederick actually did have very good coverage on that play. He was pretty much draped all over him. It could even have been pass interference, but Clemens was able to jump up and still make the grab.
Of course, now when that 7-on-7 as well, too, I mean, that's highly advantaged to the offense, you know,
That's right.
because of the presence. So it's not surprising to hear that, you know, you would hope that receivers would get separation there. Did Terrence play on the outside, Terrence Frederick, or did they run any semblance of a, you know, kind of a sub package, I guess I would ask, in that? Or was it basically just, you know, running two corners on two receivers? Can you paint the picture?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much two corners on two receivers, you know, with some safeties in the mix. But it was really hard to pick up on what they were doing defensively because, like you said, I mean, you know, the offense was really seemed to be clicking, and you know, they were constantly rotating guys in on defense. But you know, no one really stood out in the cornerback group. Sean Spence, you know, a linebacker, he showed some speed. I was impressed with him. And, you know, Carter and Sylvester were in there, and, you know, they showed good speed. And Lawrence Timmons had the hit of the day. So some of the linebackers, you know, shined more than the corners. But like you said, the corners were at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Everybody gets on me in these nightly wrap-ups and write-ups that I do about Myron Roll. You know, the kid's got a great backstory, but let's face it, he's a long shot to make the 53-man roster and really,
right.
Really a long shot, really probably to make the practice squad either. So to suffice my listeners a little bit, were you able to observe anything out of Myron Roll yesterday?
Yeah, no, I really didn't notice him out there. He didn't do anything that I viewed in terms of distinguishing himself. I thought Cromartie Smith was more impressive and more active and noticeable. If I was going to pick out, you know, any of the you know, the more long shot safety or corner group.
What about Jared Johnson? That's another guy. You know, we know the backstory on him. Was a Heisman Trophy hopeful at A&M. Messed up his shoulder a little bit heading into his senior season. Of course, got overtaken by Ryan Tannehill. This is a guy that last year undrafted, you know, didn't stick in the Eagles camp. But after working on his accuracy this past offseason with another former Texas A&M quarterback back home, you know, supposedly he's turned a corner and he's built. He looks every bit of a quarterback from what I'm hearing. What did you, being it really, it sounds like he got a lot of good work in yesterday while you were there. What did you observe of him?
Jared Johnson, I thought looked really good. I would say he was one of the my biggest surprises in visiting camp yesterday. You know, I guess he's probably you know, the fourth man right now, so he's in a tough spot, but. You know, Charlie Batch is that wily veteran, and he's got the 15 years experience. But you know, if Leftwich is healthy, it would be, you know, it'd be hard to pick Batch over Johnson. Just strictly based on what I saw yesterday, Johnson, you know, he's got the size, like you mentioned. He's basically, you know, the same size as both Roethlisberger and Leftwich. You know, he's a 6'5", 250 kid. He moved around in the, you know, very, very gracefully. He ran for a first down when the pocket broke down. Coach Tomlin called him out for that in a positive way, and he was very accurate, you know, throwing the ball downfield. He was hitting receivers in stride, and I came away thoroughly impressed with him. And if you're viewing him as, you know, a third string project guy with upside, he's a guy that I'd like to hold on to if possible.
Of course, Mike Tomlin said yesterday during his press conference that Johnson will get extensive work in the second half, which most first games like that of the preseason with a fourth-string quarterback, that's when you see it. And assuming that he has, you know, an average or above-average game and shows good upside, you know, he's always a possibility to keep for the practice squad as well, too. So, as you mentioned, of course, Charlie Batch, even if Charlie Batch were to be released and Johnson were to win that third spot, Charlie Batch is going to be right down the road in case of emergency that they you know, need to pick up the phone, because I can't see him landing with another NFL squad if he, you know, should he not make the 53-man roster. So that's good info there on Johnson there, he's one of the guys I look forward to watching tomorrow night against the Eagles. And speaking of tomorrow night versus the Eagles, why don't you highlight, Jason, you know, five or six, seven things maybe that you're going to be looking for, either personnel-wise, you know, player-wise, or schematic-wise in that game?
Well, I think we're all holding our breath, waiting to see the two rookie offensive linemen above all. It was really hard to, see if either of them was ready to go based on a scrimmage yesterday where, you know, you're not going to see that full contact. Trying to get a good look at DeCastro, and he seemed like he was definitely holding his own against McClendon, who, as we know, is, you know, really come on. And I don't think there's, you know, we don't have a lot of question about DeCastro, but until you see him in game action, you want to pass that eye test before you put him in the starting lineup. But the Mike Adams situation is really interesting, because I think it's very likely that Max Starks is still viewed behind closed doors as the left tackle starter. But Mike Adams is getting in there, game action, and, he's got a chance. If he does well these next couple games, there's no doubt that he could cement that starting job. So really looking forward to see, what he does tomorrow. I guess a couple other things for the game, let's see how they work in fullback and the tight end position. I mean, that should be interesting with this new Todd Haley offense. We have a big target now at tight end with Leonard Pope. I definitely expect him to stick on this team as one of the tight ends. With the talk about David Johnson still being in the mix with tight end Wesley Saunders' second year, and obviously Heath Miller. I mean, I think that group has the potential to be very, very strong this year, and I'm looking forward to see how they're used tomorrow night and throughout the preseason, and as well as the fullback position. And I think we've all seen David Johnson line up the fullback before, even though he has been listed as a tight end. You know, does that look different in game action? Is Will Johnson the guy, or is it, are both guys going to be, in the mix for fullback duty? I mean, it'll be good to see how that all plays out. Other guys I'm looking forward to see, I mean, certainly Chris Rainey. He's electric out there. He's lightning fast. I think they will find places to use him and special packages. It'll be interesting to see, how much they work him in preseason versus keeping some stuff on the down low that they want to save for the regular season. But I think we all expect Chris Rainey to get some time this preseason and see how he holds up with some NFL contact. Looking forward to seeing Jonathan Dwyer. I mean, he's one of the guys I had been reading before I got to camp that he's been a shining star, and he certainly stuck out yesterday, even more so than Rainey. Not that would be a surprise, but I think a lot of the headlines have been on the flashiness of Chris Rainey, but Jonathan Dwyer was very impressive yesterday. Very shifty, breaking through tackles, and he could be a real dark horse. I mean, I think we all as Steeler fans have confidence in Ike Redman, but Jonathan Dwyer is a guy who could really emerge this year and take another step forward.
Go ahead, defense.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to throw three names to you on defense. Chris Carter,
right.
Adrian Robinson, and you hit on Cromartie there. Al Woods, those are three to start with.
Yeah, I mean, Al Woods, he was around last year, right?
Right, they claimed him off waivers latter part of the season there after Aaron Smith went on IR and Chris Hope had his injury.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him, but I agree that he's someone to watch this preseason, and I feel the same way about Corbin Bryant. You know, one of those guys I think definitely has a good shot to step up and take a roster spot. Cameron Hayward's out, right?
He evidently, I think they're calling it a back injury, suffered Friday Night Lights practice.
Yeah, so that will create more opportunities for some of these other guys to show their stuff, and I think Woods and Brian are two guys that have a chance to seize an opportunity here. I think on the defensive line, we all would love to see Ta'amu really shine here. Get a chance to show that he's the nose tackle of the future. McClendon obviously has looked good and has cemented himself into a very valuable role. We'll see if he gets a lot of minutes or if they want to dial him back to really save him for the regular season. And I'm interested, like you are, to see what happens with the secondary. I think Lewis left with a minor injury during practice. I haven't heard if he's expected to go tomorrow night. I assume he will, but we all want to see Cortez Allen and Curtis Brown and some of these other young guys to see if they're ready to step up to the next level this year.
I couldn't agree more. I'm excited to see the young cornerbacks there. I'm a huge Cortez Allen fan. Nothing against Keenan Lewis, but Cortez, he was regarded as so raw. And that actually worked to his favor, in my opinion, because Carnell Lake didn't have so many bad habits to correct on him. He's so long and so fluid, and so when you add in the smarts on top of it, I really, really am excited about this kid and the opportunity of him possibly to wrestle, this spot opposite Ike Taylor away from Keenan Lewis. And the word is, as you mentioned with Keenan Lewis, we don't know about, him re-aggravating that shoulder injury yesterday. They might err on the side of caution and hold Lewis out, and what a golden opportunity if indeed that happens that Cortez Allen will have ahead of him tomorrow night.
I agree, yeah. And regardless, he's going to get a lot of minutes, as I suspect Curtis Brown will. So let's see what these guys do with a chance to get in the limelight here.
I hate to talk about punters on a podcast during preseason, but Drew Butler, kind of regarded as, I guess, inconsistent would be the word in some of the early reports in camp. I think I heard he shanked one yesterday, but had a couple of booming punts yesterday. Of course, with Jeremy Kapanos still sidelined with the back injury. Anything to take away maybe from what you saw yesterday with what Drew Butler did?
I mean, I agree with what you said. He did. He wasn't exactly consistent throughout the drills, but he definitely has an NFL leg. It was very clear from the beginning of practice when he was kicking, and of course he is the son of Kevin Butler, the former kicker for the Chicago Bears. So, the bloodlines are there, the talent's there. I think he won the Ray Guy Award a couple of years ago in college. He could be a find. He could be the next Kapanos, and, depending on the injury, he could be forced into action here sooner rather than later. And, I suspect that the Steelers are comfortable with him If they had to go with him today as their starting punter, I think they would be okay with that.
Well, Jason, I tell you what, that's a great report. Like I said, anytime people like yourself get out there, knowledgeable fans that have the Twitter machine in front of them there and able to relay these updates, boy, what a solid tool social media has become to get information across like that. So once again, I want to tip my hat to the job that you did yesterday on that. I know not only myself, but several Steeler fans appreciate that followed along. Hopefully we picked you up some followers in addition to that along the way. And I want to thank you for coming on the podcast tonight to give us an update the day before the Steelers take on Eagles. And I'm sure we'll have you on again at some point in the future.
All right, man. Glad to do it.
And welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. I'm pleased to be joined tonight by a guy that we had on the show right after he signed a futures contract with the Steelers back in March. It seems like that was yesterday, but quite a few months has passed since then. I'm, of course, talking about fullback Will Johnson. Will, welcome back to the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Will, let's start off with this. It's been a long trip for you over the last several months, of course, coming in, getting signed. You showed up at the West Virginia Pro Day there. And Tomlin kind of pulled you to the side there and let you know they were going to be signing you. Ever since then and showing up to training camp and all, what has the experience been like for you?
It's been a great experience so far. I'm still learning, and the older guys are taking me under the wing as far as DJ, teaching me a lot of the ropes and basically how to practice like a pro. And so I'm taking it all in very well and excited about tomorrow.
And speaking of tomorrow, you have to be, has it sunk in yet that you're about to play in your first professional NFL game, albeit preseason? Less than 24 hours from now, you'll be right in the middle of the action. Has that really sunk into you yet?
Not just yet. I think, it really hit me tomorrow once we take the field.
And with that said, Mike Tomlin talked about David Johnson yesterday and although he has the fullback designation next to his name, as you do as well, he mentioned that, DJ going forward is going to get some work back at tight end where he played last year. Are fans in general and us, bloggers and media type, are we reading too much into the designation of a fullback being listed next to your name?
I know for sure they're going to let me play some running back tomorrow late in the game, maybe late in the fourth. But I really don't get into the numbers game. But I'm just going out and do whatever they ask me to do.
Do you think you're going to see some time as an inline tight end without, I don't want you to give away the game plan, whatever game plan may be in line, but, can we expect maybe to see a couple of snaps with you lined up as an inline tight end?
There's definitely some formations. I don't know if they're going to get called when I'm in the game, but there's a possibility.
Now, of course, you're a converted. You started off a wide receiver, and then you filled into your frame. Into a tight end at West Virginia, and then, of course, now a fullback. I believe you bulked up to over 200. I think you're about 253 pounds now, something like that.
Right in that range.
Has that affected you as far as, because you showed great speed in your film at West Virginia coming out of the backfield, running those wheel routes, and being able to get separation. Have you been able to maintain the speed, that goes along with your game?
Muscle was muscle that I put on, so yeah, I was definitely able to maintain speed. Just a lot of strength that I added.
We heard a few, and you mentioned that you've gotten a few carries there. During training camp, we heard those reports and all like that. How much have you learned being around a guy like Kirby Wilson and in that running back room, along with Isaac Redman and Rashard Mendenhall, kind of fill us in of what you've picked up so far.
Well, I'm basically getting the best of both worlds, and it's learning the fullback position and the halfback position. But it's just, I guess I'm getting a better overall view of the whole position from the backfield, in the perspective to say. I'm learning a lot from the fullback with the interns who have helped me, and if I'm ever back there running the ball. So I think it all ties together, and it's going to help real well.
That Kirby Wilson, he's an amazing man, especially what all he's been through. I can't imagine. I heard a report yesterday that he was running, running alongside with Larry Foote and those guys, doing the sprints and all like that. So I mean, that's got to be fantastic. Special teams is also going to probably be a big part of what you do tomorrow night. Can we look for you on both the punt and kickoff teams, or are you just mainly kickoff? Or
punt, kickoff, kickoff return, and also punt return. So at some point in the game, in the second half, late in the second half, I should be rotating in.
How hard is it, Will? Your name, it's not like you have flown under the radar here by any stretch of imagination. Your name is mentioned in the circles almost daily on the blogs and the message boards and in the media or whatnot. How hard is it not to get caught up in reading and listening to your own press? Do you find it difficult?
Reason not to get into the media. I really don't like to read into things like that. I don't want to get caught up in anything. But I also have people tell me about it all the time. But it's good to hear every once in a while, that people think you're doing well. But I myself, I don't try to get into it really.
Do you, and it's still early and all, but you have to have a sense of feeling, at least we do on the outside looking at this, that you really, really do have a good legitimate shot of making the 53-man roster. And I know you've got four preseason games going forward still to get underneath your belt to get this accomplished. But do you feel good so far about the training camp that you've had up until right now?
I feel I'm having a pretty average training camp. Can definitely do better. But I know my part is definitely going to be special teams. Whatever I can do to contribute there is probably be the only reason I'll make the team is through, contributing on special teams. So I'm aware of that. David is the starting fullback, and, I'm trying to run the ball. I'm trying to do some fullback, so I'm basically trying to do as much as I can so I can be a versatile player.
Back when I talked to you in late March there, I kind of prepped you that, what Latrobe was going to be like and what the fan base was going to be like. And did it live up? Did it live up when you got there? I mean, has your experience outside of what you've done on the field, with the fans and as everything that goes along with that, has it lived up to what the expectations were?
It's exceeded. It's been a great experience so far. I'm starting to feel that it's more like a family experience, here with the fans and just the way they run an organization.
Well, Will, listen, let me tell you, I'm glad that I had you on the show right there after you got picked up and followed your process all along here. You are being talked about quite a bit, and there are going to be quite a few eyes of Steeler Nation on you tomorrow night. I want to wish you nothing but the best and stay healthy, and we want to see you busting some heads out there tomorrow night against the Eagles.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, and that's Will Johnson. You can follow Will on Twitter, Will_6. And, Will, once again, thanks for joining us on A Terrible Podcast.
Thank you.